already here. Your presence, your spirit, you've already prepared the hearts that it's fertile ground that is going to receive what you have for it today. Lord, as we celebrate change, I like to change my shoes. I like to change my hair. I like to change my clothes. So, Lord, let people look at change like that, like their bank account changed from $20 to $2 million. Lord, let it be the change that we can receive, that we can accept. And then give us the wisdom so that when we get our $2 million, we don't blow it. So we invite you in, Holy Spirit. Have your way in Jesus' name. So what will you do with your $2 million? You wouldn't go and buy 2 million lottery tickets and hope you could double your money, would you? Right. So we won't do that here. So at Abundant Life, we've all been given another opportunity, or wherever you minister at, if you've ever changed churches. Me, no. Same place, 30 plus years, same place, faithful, diligent, never would leave. You couldn't make me leave. I've seen them come, I've seen them go. Not me. But I wasn't there for a man, wasn't there for a woman. I was there because God had me there. Which is why some people who even had left, come back, and left and came back, when after 30 years of service, they want to know what devil talked to me and my husband. We walk through the store and people go, well, you look good. Well, the stories of my death were well exaggerated because I'm alive and I'm well and I'm living my life to the glory of God. Hallelujah. And that's what you have to know. What has God told you to do in your journey to change? You can change at the church you're at. You can change in the home you're at. You can change in the seat you're at. You can get a promotion on your job and go through change. Change is good. But if you do the same thing the story is told and expect a different result, that's insanity. And I have a sound mind. So my change comes from the Lord. So I'm going to share a little bit with you on the journey to change. I'm going to tell you about Abundant Life and who we are called to be. Abundant Life is a church that God ordained. And we believe that. And I believe he ordained all these churches. We have churches with, you know, we fellowship with a lot of people who have just recently started ministries, 2 years old, 3 years old. But all the people are 45 plus. Why? Why? Because God is taking people who have served, who have been faithful, who have been diligent to deal with the people who have been going to church and tried to be faithful, tried to be diligent, tried to serve, but they felt like their kindness was taken for weakness and they got weary in their well-doing. And God is appointing pastors who understand what it is to serve, regardless to the circumstances, so that these people will not have their sights on man, pastors, women, men of God, but they can focus on him. So what God told us was at Abundant Life, he gave us a scripture and it was 1 Samuel 22 and verse 1. And the scripture says, these are those that joined. Well, I'll find the actual scripture. Did we put it up? Okay. Now there was, no, that's not where I was reading. I'm sorry. The one scripture, Luan says, I know she got that memorized, and I do, but I'm trying to do it right. Okay. And everyone who was in distress, and everyone who was in debt, and everyone who was discontented gathered to him. And so he became captain over them, and there were about 400 men with him, which means there were many more women. Okay. So, who joined with David, the man of God, the called one, the one who Saul wanted to destroy because David had an anointing on his life? I don't know any preacher who's doing the word and the will of God that the devil does not want to destroy. So, tests and trials, that's a part of the territory. So, There had been a long war between the house of Saul and the house of David. And David waxed stronger and stronger, but the house of Saul waxed weaker and weaker, according to Samuel, 2 Samuel, verse 3 and 1. And so Saul was trying to pursue David, like someone trying to pursue you. No matter where I go, no matter what I do, the devil's always trying to stop me. I started at a new church, and this sister was nice, and we had all things in common, and then we just started talking, and before I knew it, she was telling all my business. But I connected with her because we had so much in common, even at the new church. You know why? I brought my baggage. I brought my luggage. Indebted, distressed, discontented. And do you know what God said? They're not just at Abundant Life. He said, I blessed you enough to know who I sent you. They're at every church, but people don't recognize it. God told us to recognize it and bring deliverance to it. That's what we're supposed to do. Not stroke it, find the things familiar with it. They did that to you. I signed up to work with them and they didn't even call me. You know what? Oh, she did. Everything that I do, she's always seemed to be in my... It's easy. And men do the same thing. It's not just women. But the problem is the heart change. So you can put that wine in a new skin, and it can still be stale, stagnant, old wine, fermented. No good for anyone. So what's real important is that we understand who God has sent. And I just want to share a little bit about what... When David was in the cave... The name, he went to a cave, and the cave was in Adullam. And Adullam in the Hebrew means refuge, safety, a place to hide. And so it was a cave as in low, a cave as in below. It was, and the people that came there were that way too. But they joined David. All those people came to him, and God appointed him ruler over them. Not ruler to beat, but ruler to bring change, to be a catalyst for change. And so we understand what's here, and we understand what we need to do. And what we want to point out is that we can't do it alone. Because I guarantee you, though David was the general, there were many captains and soldiers. And everyone had to do their role in the whole to make it work. Because as you grow and you go from 100 to 200, you gotta trust other people. And so we trust you and we have confidence in you and what God is going to do through you and with us. And in this place for David and the men who came to him, certainly they did come to the cave for refuge. Why do you go to the church you go to? Do you go to find peace, healing, deliverance, help? That's why we believe God is drawing people to this place. Hebron is on a hill. When they left the cave, the people went out and they went to Hebron, which is a place of deliverance. It's a high place, an exalted place, a place lifted up. So, if God is starting with us all in a place, and it doesn't mean, it's not that you are unsaved. It's just that we all go through those things. Life takes us through tests and trials and complacencies. But God wants us to come out of those things. And so what God told us after 1 Samuel chapter 22 and 34, I just want to share a little bit about who those people are. So if I can have the slide go up for number one. So anybody who is distressed, God told us this is the answer for the distressed people that come and join us. They must worship and praise the Lord in word and in deed. So if you're distressed, why so cast down on my soul? What do I need to do? That's what we, didn't you feel better once the captains encourage you to worship? And we didn't get weary. You know, I tried to do it. Then y'all made the general come. And he got you pumped up. He got you pumped up. You know, you wouldn't do it for your soldiers. You wouldn't do it for the captain. And then he sent the general. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Don't expect the general to always lay down everything he's doing to come see about you when you've got the word of God yourself. Number two, they must have faith and not doubt. Slide number two, they must have faith and they must not doubt. That's for the distressed people. Any of you guys feeling distressed? Too much going on. They always calling me. They always want my money. This is always happening to me. They must have faith. I have faith, but I'm scared to even go to my mailbox. It's always a bill. I can't answer the phone. My children, they must have faith and not doubt. Number three, discontented. They must pray and stand on the word in adversity. In adversity. The happiness of those who trust in God. They must worship and praise the Lord in word and in deed. You have to put a word on your problem, not your mouth. And that's the word of God. And it will make a change. So wherever you're worshiping at, Abundant Life somewhere else, these same things apply. And so when you look at what is distressed or indebted, distress means to be in great pain, anxiety, or sorrow. Maybe I'm mourning the loss of someone, the loss of something. Indebted, it could mean I'm beholden to someone. I owe them. I'm gonna stay here and serve that man because I owe them. I got saved there. Or I'm not going to get a promotion because my boss, well, she really needs me. No, let God exalt you. Let him elevate you. In someone's debt to be grateful for, to be in the arrears, those are indebted. To do, to owe someone a bill, to be in the arrears. Have you ever been in the arrears? Or you can't ever make things right with somebody. You can never catch up. I can never make it right. God said, give it to him. And the final category, it was discontented. No contentment, no matter where you go. Your husband can give you the biggest diamond. And you go, but I saw this other one because I wanted the yellow diamond instead. Lack of contentment. Restless craving for what one does not have. A longing for something better than your present situation. And what God told me to say about this is actually none of these are altogether bad. They're a part of our world. And to long for something better is not a problem. It's to let that problem and those longings control you and not to cast every care on him. So as I move forward and come to my conclusion, I want to share with you what God told us to do in this situation. He said, I have an answer to the people in the cave, the indebted, the distressed, and the discontented. And he said, it was an answer that I gave to David when he was in the cave and he felt forsaken and he thought that I was not going to deliver him. He said, I have an answer because I love my children. And his answer is so simple. I was like, Lord, you bring us from year one, year two, to the beginning of year three to give us the answer. He said, the biggest problem is, first, you can't heal anyone else until you're first healed. But Lord, I've been saved so long. He said, now you're ready. His answer is Psalms 34. So if we can have Psalms 34 up there for the distressed, it's so simple. I'm like, Lord, you are amazing. You are amazing. So what God did was he said, I have an answer. And I was praying one day and I was like, Lord, how can we deal with these situations? You know, it's always something coming up. And I wrote it out just as God gave me. He said, I'm going to give you the answer for dim folks, D-E-M. I was like, Lord, and it got my attention. He said, turn to Psalms 34. I turned to Psalms 34, and it said that this is what David wrote when he was in distress, hiding from Saul, who wanted to destroy him. I was feeling like people were trying to destroy me. I hadn't done anything wrong. I had an opportunity just like David did when he saw Saul, and he went to Saul when he was in the closet, and he cut the end of his robe off, though he could have destroyed him with his knife. But do you know what David did? He didn't kill him, and he was sorry. He apologized to God for even having the thought to harm someone, even if they were trying to destroy him. And God told me that's why he's going to take care of me and LWC and everything that concerns me. And that's what he's going to do. He's going to take care of you and everything that concerns you. No weapon formed against you is going to prosper. No hand raised against you. Every enemy coming against you will fall. No weapon formed against you will prosper in the name of Jesus. And that's what you have to know. But God said, you have to make it plain. People need to see it. People get preached to. They get more information than they can consume. He said, it's so simple. Everybody knows where the Psalms are. Psalms 34. When you fill any of those categories, when the world tries to get you, the church people try to get you, for the distressed, he said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. Why were we trying to get you to praise? Let us exalt his name together. That's where the power's at. That's where the power's at. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all of my fears. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. The poor man cried out and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his distress, all of his troubles, all of his worries. That's what God said he will do. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Ha, he said, that's it. I'm like, Lord, that's the answer for the distressed. Oh, my God. Why have I read that before and I just didn't think about it? He said, my sheep hear my voice. Sometimes you got to stop talking. You got to hear his voice. Sometimes when you can't hear his voice and the Lord sends that word, you got to stop going, or they just in my business. Oh, you're not my daddy. You're not going to boss me around. Sometimes you got to have faith and be still and trust the Lord to answer those prayers and things you've been crying out. Answer for the indebted. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed the man who trusts in him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye saints. There is no want to those who fear him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil. Okay, I'm gonna say it one more time. Keep your tongue from evil. And I'm not talking about just, I'm talking about evil is, son, you'll never be able to read. You're just stupid. Or I'll never have any money. Or why is this always happening to me? I never have any good luck. Keep your tongue from evil. Speak good. Let your yes be yes, your no be no. Let your words be seasoned with salt. Let God direct you. Let your words be positive. Bring glory to the Lord in everything you do. And he said, bless those who curse you. Bless them. I bless you. May your ministry grow. May you prosper. May everything that you put your hand to prosper. God bless you. I've done that with people who I know have talked about me, and they've looked at me like I was crazy. And guess what? I'm blessed. I am blessed. I am blessed. And he wants you to be blessed also. Hallelujah. Your lips from speaking deceit, discontented, depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, which is not us. to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous, he said, say, Tammy cries out, say your name, say. Wait, say it again, I'm gonna give you another chance. And the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as are a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He delivers us out of them all. He guards all of our bones. Not one of them is broken.
Yes.
Not one. If he can guard your bones, he can guard your heart, your mind. Ooh, hallelujah. Ooh. And if they try to mess with me, Lord, you said evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous shall be condemned. And Lord redeems the soul of his servants. And none of those who trust in him shall ever be condemned. No man can bless what God has cursed. And no man can curse what God has blessed. Be free. Be free. Drop your baggage. Drop your baggage. Leave it in baggage claim. Don't take it with you. Trust him to give you a new wardrobe. Trust him to give you a new mind. Trust him to give you a new heart. Trust him to give you new money. Trust him to give you a new husband. Trust him to give you a new life. Trust him. Trust him. He said, trust me. 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 He said, cast all of your cares on me. 1 Peter 5 and 6, cast all of your cares on me because I care for you. He said, how many cares? But Lord, I can't ask you about this. He said, thank you. He said, cast all of your cares on me because I care for you. So how is he going to do all that he's going to do to give me long life, to give me a hope and a future? If he said, I know the plans I have for you, plans for good and not evil. But Lord, you must not know about this distress I'm in. And I'm telling you, I'm crying because I have such a passion for people who hurt. When everybody else in church was being seen, I was the one when they rang the doorbell and they said, excuse me, I've been trying to get up here all week. Nobody will answer. They would come beat on that old door. And I was in there by myself. I prayed for them, not because of who I am, because that's what God called me to do. I've cast out demons in his name. I've given people things I couldn't even afford to give them. God said, I want you to be a conduit for my glory. He said, because promotion comes from above. So don't despise humble beginnings. He said, trust me. Where you are today, move forward. Bless, don't curse. Speak well of. When you're in a desperate situation, people will leave Haiti, and they were leaving Cuba and facing sharks and getting on pieces of foil and fencing and trying to float. They were facing sharks and starvation and drinking their own urine and shark drinking salt water because they had nothing to lose. I've got nothing to lose. I have nothing to lose. But God told me I have everything to give. My lamp will not be hid underneath a bushel. And to this day, I call everyone who's been here over 1 year, over 2 years. You've been here 3 years and you not letting God use you. Shame on you. Shame. Shame. I'm no different. I am the one who swept up the front of the church. I am the one who cleaned the toilet. I am the one who was never in the front. I am the one that thought was stupid. I am the one that thought was indebted. But they didn't know what God told me. He said, you are the one. You, like David. Is there anyone else here? It's not this big, strong one. Is there anyone else here? How about that little, you know, him? Yeah, you. Yeah, you. Yeah, you. Yeah, you. Yeah, you. And you. Yeah, you. You're not called to fill seats. You're called to make a difference in the kingdom. You're not called. We are not every Sunday from this day forward going to beg you to worship. You will go home and say, well, churches wasn't good today. I didn't feel it. And you never will. You can go somewhere where you can feel it. But here we're trying to take the church to the street. The church to the street. Stop being fat. Stop being fat. God said no more emaciated Christians and no more fat ones. He said, I want Christians who are going to do my word. He said, if you're sitting up here and you're just getting a little meal on Sunday, oh, I'm going to eat this meal. Well, I'm only going to eat a half a meal because I didn't really like worship. So I'm just going to eat the pastor's word and I might go to Bible study. So I had two meals all week. Didn't pick up my Bible, didn't fill myself up. Then there's the other ones who get fat and they at every church and every musical and every convention and every conference, but you're doing everything that's not godly. And I'm not talking sin. I'm talking about sin with your lips. I'm talking about that kind of sin. I'm talking about not preaching the kingdom. I'm talking about not making disciples. He said, therefore you go out into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's the call. I'm admonishing ALWC. The month of October, everybody bring at least two people to church. Yeah. It can be your neighbor. It can be your friend. It can be the person off the street. Bring at least two people on any given Sunday. You are to make disciples, not continually being fed and never pouring out. When you overeat and you overindulge, you get sick. You get sick of church. You get sick of waiting. You get sick of being here for 2 hours. You get sick. Yeah. God said no more. And this is where I'm going to close. Did they stay in the cave? No. You mean they didn't stay there? No. Are we sure? No, they came out healed and delivered. So he took an unlikely crew because David's men, I didn't go into, but David's men that he got, they were the robbers and the thieves and the unlikely people. They were the people nobody wanted. But when they left, they were a strong army. And they did service under their captain. And I guarantee you, when David asked them to do something, they didn't go, well, shoot, I'll do it tomorrow or I'll do this and that. I didn't hear about David having to do everything. And we're not, because we've already done it. So God told us he's going to send what we need. But in order for you to be promoted to captain, you're going to have to start serving. You're going to have to start doing and being obedient to his world, to his word. And he's going to send you all the help you need. Because Derry and I are an example of what God will do if you're just obedient. But the kingdom needs more. It needs your help. We need your help here. Your church needs your help. So I thank God for opening my eyes and giving me a clear answer that my life is not in vain. Yeah. That my service to him is not in vain. I thought I was doing okay. And then I got the real test. I was like, Lord, why? Why? He said, because to whom much is given, much is required. How many of you guys want more? It should have been everybody, and maybe you're clapping on the inside. However, God called all. Go ye therefore, preach the gospel to every creature. He wants you to bring deliverance, sight to the blind. That's his word, and it's not just to the preacher. So, I thank you for giving me the opportunity to deliver this word. I thank God for the opportunity to have this baby. You are my baby and I love you. That's why I work. I love you. Darian, I love you. We love you. But we can never love you as much as God does. And I hate seeing my family in turmoil and bound up. I hate seeing my family not free. I hate seeing people with the same potential that God told Derry and I we had, and they don't know when it's time to move. So they will die in Adullam if they don't move. He wants to take you to Helpbrun. He wants to take you to a higher height. He wants your territory to be enlarged. He wants you to increase the kingdom. Don't you want to hear, servant, well done? Hallelujah. So at this time, I just want to pray for you. The altar team is going to come forward. And we just want you to know here that we love you. But God loves you more. And His love is real. His love is not that I thought you loved me. He loves me even though He's chastened me. Because, you know, my joke is He beat me into the woman that I am. But that way, if He beat me, when you hit me, it doesn't even hurt. I just keep on moving. Hallelujah. So if you're here today and